Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Bailey Marie Griggs and her band. Everybody say hey, introduce yourself, and we'll get going.
Hello, I'm Scott Moon. I play drums for Bailey.
Greg Cooper. I play lead guitar for Bailey.
I'm Bailey, and I sing.
For Bailey.
For Bailey.
So you started, playing solo, doing acoustic. How did the band come together? Because I know, Scott, you're kind of recent addition to the band, right?
Right.
And for those who don't know, me and Scott have known each other for a while now. We're friends, so we're comfortable and stuff. But okay. Talk about how the band came together, because since we've opened, I've watched your career trajectory over the last year and a half. You know, you're making moves, things are getting momentum. So what made you make the decision to put a band together and then take this route?
Yeah, I mean, I first started off with just learning guitar. Me and just doing as many shows as I could, just acoustic with me. But there's venues, bigger venues that, require a band. And a band has always been something that, I've always wanted to put together and have it, my band. But I feel like it just has been a thought, and then it just kind of goes away, and we don't really act on it. And then whenever, we found these venues that, are really good venues and we think that people would really enjoy coming to, that's whenever we really started looking for a band, and then found these guys on the road.
How'd you guys get hooked up with Bailey?
Well, her dad called me. I guess this was about October, September, October. He just called me out of the blue one day. I didn't know him. He said, hey, I'm putting together a band for my daughter. And I said, okay. He said, it's country. I said, I'm not interested. And he said, well, let me tell you a little bit about her, And I said, well, that sounds cool and it's interesting, And I said, and he said, well, do you know any guitar players? And I said, I've got a guy in mind that might be great for you. So I gave him Greg's number. So he reached out to Greg, and Greg started, doing a couple little shows with her, playing, play some stuff. And Greg called me up. He said, man, you need to take a second look at this. This would be fun. The songs are good. She's an incredible singer and artist. And he said... And I was like, well, I'm open to trying something different. I'm an old school rock and metal guy from back in the 80s, yeah. I'm playing a band called String Theory with Roger, and we do classic rock, and I'm playing a Beatles tribute band. But I said, I've been doing this really strong for 5 years, been playing every weekend. And I was like, well, I'm kind of ready to try something different, learn some different songs. I'm kind of sick of the same old Elton John and Styx every week. And I was like, this would be kind of fun to try something different. So we got together and rehearsed. And the first time we rehearsed, I was like, wow, this really sounds good, And the songs were different, and it was fun. It was a challenge to go and learn songs I'd never heard before. I didn't know anything about them, but learning them, they grow on you really quick. And it's like, wow, these are fun to play, and they sound good, and the band sounds so good. And so I called up Roger from my other band, and I was like, Roger, you need to join this band. He's like, no, I'm not playing country. No, I don't have time. I said, Roger, please come on, do it. And after a little persuasion, he said, well, let's get together and practice and try it. And here we are. We got together and started rehearsing, and we got a couple of our friends to come sing background vocals. And once we all got together in the same room, all seven of us, we were just like, man, this sounds. It sounds really amazing.
Bailey, talk about what that felt like, being in the practice room, going from solo acoustic to having a full band. I mean, that had to be a little bit overwhelming, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's definitely different, because normally whenever you're doing, if I'm playing guitar and it's just me and my voice, I have to focus on mainly my voice and just me playing a little bit of guitar. But, whenever I'm with a band, I have to really focus on the timing of everybody. I have to focus on, more than what I'm doing. And so I feel like the first band rehearsal was, you know, chaotic as they all are. But then after that, I feel like everything just kind of fell into place.
And shout out to your dad for, like, yeah, you know, helping, you know, reaching out. You know, that's, it's really cool. We get to talk to a lot of artists here on the show. And one of the things I love about a lot of the younger artists that we deal with is how supportive their parents are. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from a generation where, you know, you just didn't see that a lot. You know, yeah, like my parents, you know, it took 2 years of playing for my parents to even be like, okay, maybe there's something here. You know, most of our parents were like, you know, turn that off. You know,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got to hit the rewind button on Scott's story. I'm sitting here thinking about it. You've got to know how spontaneous and creative this guy is, because I'm driving, running errands in my car. Scott calls me up and goes, hey, man, I got an extra ticket to the Tenacious D concert. You want to go? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I go, when? He goes, well, you got to be here in 45 minutes. So I go. We hop in the car. Boom, we're going to the Tenacious D concert. So, you know, if you get there to the PNC Music Pavilion, you know, you want to go get your drinks and everything, go get your seat and get situated. We get our drinks. We're getting situated. And Scott goes, hey, man, don't let me forget to tell you, there's like this really great girl that's a singer-songwriter out of Nashville looking for a guitar player. Can I give her your number? And I go, yeah. And he goes, okay. Boom, that's how it started.
Okay.
Just like that.
Now, talk a little bit about your experience. Have you been in other bands before, right?
I have.
Do you come from the country world?
Well, I come from like the southern rock world.
Okay.
In the mid-90s, I was in a band called Bounty Hunter, and we were like an Allman Brothers, Outlaws, Skinnerd, Molly Hatchet tribute,
nice,
kind of thing, and did that for years.
I'd book that.
So I had that bass under me, and then I'd gotten the chance to play in another band called Gator McCluskey, and it was all country, and it was like rock country. It was like David Allan Coe country and stuff like that, and so I kind of cut my teeth on that. Back in Southern Illinois before I moved out here. So it was a really natural progression, and her songs cross over so many genres too.
I was going to ask, what percentage of your set is original? How much are you covering? Like, and how much of that is intentional? Like, what's your philosophy on?
Yeah, so whenever we first started like making the set list, because our first like really big band show together that we was like preparing for months was in January at Amos's South End in Charlotte. And you know, I was trying to add songs because we never played together before, and I didn't think that the originals were going to go over as well as they did. And so I had about like, I don't know, I guess like 4 or 5 originals on my set list whenever we played in Charlotte. And, you know, everybody there, they were really liking the originals. And so now I have definitely added in more originals. And I know a lot of, because whenever I start my set list, I try and put like a good song that like is going to get everybody's attention, and like people are just going to have fun listening to it. And so I feel like the way that I set up set lists and everything is very intentional, just trying to get like the audience's attention. And yeah, definitely with the original songs and the original music, I've added more over time. And it's cool because, you know, a lot of people, it's your songs that you've written, and so seeing people that really enjoy listening to it is really cool, and I get to add more of it.
That's very cool. We're going to welcome Ariel to the show. Ariel's late. So come on in, Ariel. So
supervisor.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm always interested in people's philosophy on how they decide to put together set lists. You know, with us being a venue, we see it all, right? We see hip hop, we see country, we see heavy metal, rock and roll, and we always get bigger crowds for like your tributes and your cover bands than we do for originals. And a lot of times, you know, the tribute shows are a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. They are so much fun. That's what pays the bills. It's what keeps the lights on. It's why we can do so much original stuff. And you got a lot of different people that have a different philosophy. Like, I'm not covering nothing. I'm going to do mine. And then you got bands that kind of understand, like, sometimes you need to grab someone's attention with a cover. I personally have, since we opened this place, I've even created playlists on Spotify to share with everyone, to highlight like the local scene, and this is what people are doing to try to encourage people to give original stuff more of a, more of a chance. Now, I know you go back and forth to Nashville a lot. Is it like that there as well? Because Nashville's this big, huge, you know, it's the mother of country music, right? So are people as supportive of the original stuff there as they are the cover and the tributes?
I think so. I think it's like the places that you play in Nashville. I'm going to say it's more of, you know, the outskirts of Nashville that are really into, like, original music. Like, downtown, I wouldn't really know much about that.
Well, that's where Vanderbilt is.
Yeah, I mean, right.
It is like a college right town,
there,
too.
Like, right there on Broadway. I mean, every time I've been down to Broadway, you know, I hear Miranda Lambert's music playing and, you know, a lot of cover music. But every time I go there, I play a writer's round, which is nothing but original music. Mm-hmm. And so they get lots of supports and everything for their original music. And, I mean, there's more than just the place that I play. Like, there's writer's rounds all around Nashville that you strictly do original music. And so I feel like it gets a lot of support in Nashville.
Right on. What about you guys? What's your philosophy? Because I know, Scott, you've got a couple different tribute cover things going. Have you ever considered doing real stuff, or did you do original stuff before?
Yeah, back in the 80s, my band was all original, 100% original band, and that was back when we were focused on trying to get signed and
you
know, that big dream of the 80s. But, you know, after that, I kind of, when I had kids, shut it all down for 15, 20 years, and
once
the kids got in high school and we're never home anymore, I was like, okay, let's get back into it. But it's definitely, you know, when originals are good, when the songs are good, that's when it's just so fun to play them. And her originals are just amazing. She's got, how many originals daily do you have? 60?
Like 60 or more.
And she writes with a lot of songwriters, and but she's, you know, and it's amazing, some of these songs. And so
when you're doing originals, do you have any kind of do you have complete control over what you're writing right now? Or does anyone have any kind of rights to yourself?
No, I have everything.
So have you recorded anything?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm actually going to Nashville next month and recording some new original music. But mainly my focus right now has been going and writing with different people, writing by myself, and just getting like a good catalog of songs.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's cool that you got, I didn't know you had 60 songs. That's incredible,
that's
especially you know, for a young lady. That's you know, it's funny, on the way in today, I was thinking about, you know, having you guys in today and the dichotomy of where you're at in life and career wise and stuff, because, you know, I did the same thing Scott did. I kind of put everything on hold to raise kids, and then here I am in my 40s. You know, playing around, you know, it's you know, it's in decision making, right? Like, you got to decide, you know, which path am I going to take? Because you can be irresponsible, you can go spit some kids out and then still try to live this life, and then, you know, your kids suffer because you're not home, or, you know, that kind of thing. Have you given much thought to, like, your career path in that sense?
I mean, yeah, I definitely, if things progress and everything, because you know, I'm still working on, because, I mean, I've been looking at going to college, you know, maybe in Nashville, and just really working on, because I honestly don't feel like I don't need to go to school for music. Like, because, you know, I mean, I've been doing it a lot without, like, you know, taking classes for music and, like, getting a degree in music, because I just don't feel like, and music is not always promised. You're not always saying, like, oh, you're going to make it big, and that's not promised to you. And so I feel like, you know, having music, and if it does, that's great. I'm set. And but I feel like, you know, going to college and going to school with music, and then also having, you know, like a backup plan.
Well, the business end of things is, if I was to give you any advice, I'd definitely go to college just to learn the business side
of things. Right,
yeah. Because there's a lot of shiesty people out there, you know, a lot of people that are just waiting for an opportunity to take what you made and make a profit off of it. It happens all the time, all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's more beneficial, like getting the business side of things. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you said yourself earlier on, you know, being a female in this business, you know, there are certain vulnerabilities you have that is not as prevalent with males in the industry. So having a good business mind is and it helps to have supportive parents. It seems like your parents kind of, you know, help you out a little bit with that. But at some point, it's going to be all you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's the tools that you need in your toolbox.
Yeah.
Well, she's surrounded with good people.
That and helps, too.
The people in Nashville, it seems like, have really taken Bailey under her wing and helped guide her through the process. Her mom's made amazing contacts there. You know, one of her producers got a son that's an entertainment lawyer, so that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is true. I've had a lot of these conversations in private with people about how, you know, where, you know, opportunity, you know the it's the right way to say it, you know, where you're at and who you're surrounded by has a lot to do with how far you can go and how far you can take whatever the thing is you're doing. You know, not everyone gets to, you know, not everyone has that luxury to have good people surrounding them in life, you know, and that's why those success stories are so captivating to all of us when you see someone that comes from nothing that finds a way to make it. But, you know, it's way better to have the support structure around you.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and it does give you a bit of a leg up. Now, but the difference is you have to work even harder because there's someone right behind you that doesn't have that structure that's working just as hard, if not harder, to get it. You know, like, it is.
Because you have to do that to stand out.
Yeah, you have to.
If not, you're just white noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the nice way of saying, you know, where you're at in life has a lot to do with where you can go in life.
Yeah.
And, I think it's more tragic to have these advantages and screw it up, you know, than to never have had the opportunity to begin with. So my advice on that would be lean into these relationships. Yeah. And, you know, most of us have an intuition about us that kind of knows if the people in our life are on our side or not. You know, you just got to watch out for the snakes, man. Yeah.
There's a lot in the music industry.
And how many people have made it big out of Gastonia? Because when I came out here and I started hearing the people that have made it big, I mean, we talked about three of them the other day that we know for sure that went right up there.
Who were your three?
So, like, Fred Durst.
Yeah.
He made it.
And Sammy Johns.
Sammy Johns.
Way back in
December. Wasn't Percy Sledge from here, too? Or am I wrong?
Who's that?
Percy Sledge. Wasn't he? I think he was from here or near here.
The country artist that we talked about, now I can't think of his name, went to Ashbrook.
Oh, Luke.
No, Luke comes this
way. Luke's from South Carolina. Yeah, he's not from here.
Who'd you say?
Jimmy Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
But then you also have Patty Loveless from Kings Mountain and Eric Church from right up 321. What's the name of that town?
There's Luke Combs.
Luke Combs
is from South Carolina.
Where did he go to school?
Yeah.
That's funny. Jimmy Wayne actually dated my cousin Melissa when they were teenagers.
Wow.
One of my closest.
Yeah, I remember him coming, bringing his guitar to like Thanksgiving dinner and stuff, and kind of sitting off in the corner. He never put that guitar down.
So you want to hear something weird?
Yeah.
One of my closest friends is Luke Combs' cousin, and we hung out with Luke Combs as like 13-year-olds. Yeah. Didn't even know. I'm like, that's your.
Really? It's important to be nice to everybody.
It didn't link.
Yeah, that's why you should always be nice to everybody.
Yes. You never know.
You never know. But you know, the hunger, you know, to be successful, like, you know, you clearly have it. What's the motivation? Like, you know, you're writing your own songs. You're doing what you're putting in the work. What's keeping you motivated and hungry?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like ever since I was like a kid. I mean, I still am, but you know, like 8 years old. I've always wanted to like do this, and now that I'm actually doing it, I mean, I have like, it's just something that, you know, I want to progress in, and I feel like it would be really good to, you know, live up to what I've always wanted. As
who was that point for you that made it click when you were 8? Like, was it a certain artist? Was what was that defining moment?
I mean, everybody tells me that I came out singing, and so I started off with musical theater, and it's weird because I used to do so many musicals and so many plays, and now nobody can even pay me to go watch one. And, like, I just can't do it anymore. I did so many. Like, if there was a musical, I was auditioning for it. Like, that was me. But as soon as I started, you know, really taking lessons and stuff, because just randomly, because I started with acting, and then I started singing, and I think my mom actually said that I was doing like a karaoke thing. Like, I got a karaoke machine, and I was singing Three Wooden Crosses in my living room, and she was like, wow, I think she can actually be a singer. And I never took it seriously like that because I obviously wasn't that good.
You were a kid.
You just loved doing it.
And which is cool now because I actually got to write a couple months ago with the guy that wrote Three Wooden Crosses.
That's cool.
Oh, wow. Full circle.
Yeah. And so he comes back around. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like whenever I realized I could do it, it was like something that I wanted to be good at. And so I continued to try.
Yeah, I mean, you have that bug, you know, the entertainment bug. It's funny, some of the most talented people in this scene right now are theater kids. Like, I'm thinking about Trace Casanova now. Who will be here this Saturday.
Yeah. Did he ever tell you? I was Finn, and he was Kristoff.
Yeah, he did.
Frozen. I'm telling you, I was a theater kid. Yeah. You wouldn't guess it now.
Wait, he was Finn and you were Kristoff?
No, I was Finn. I was reindeer.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I can't imagine him being a reindeer. He'd be the most extra reindeer ever.
Yeah. Oh, I was the best reindeer.
Yeah, I love that kid. Spot on. Is this the first time you guys will be performing on the same bill together?
He did. He actually performed at Amos's in Charlotte.
Right. And hosted the event with no notice.
Yeah.
Because the person that's going to be hosting us on the 16th couldn't make Amos's.
Yeah.
He's my first call every time we need someone to host something. He's my, if Ariel can't be here for something or if Jade can't be here for open mic, he is always my first call.
Yeah. He's just a bubbly person. Like, he's
super talented. But you can see him here this Saturday, the 16th. Opening for Bailey Marie. Eliza Ray will be here as well. Another very young, talented kid in this area. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, there's just, it's bubbling. You know what I mean? It's bubbling right now. There's a handful of kids that are just putting in the work, doing all the stuff you need to do.
It's been on simmer for too long. We just cranked it up. Just,
there's so much potential with this scene here.
Person on the bill.
Might want to mention
How could I forget Adam?
Who else is going to be on the bill?
Adam Church.
Yeah.
He doesn't come in here every week, okay? I'm sorry.
Nope.
He's too busy.
We were talking
about... How did you manage that, by the way? I mean, that's not an easy thing to do to get a big name like that on a bill and then have him go on before you.
I mean, whenever me and Adam started, getting connected, because I saw him in Luke Combs' video, and whenever Doing This came out by Luke, and he was in the video, and he was like, this... Adam has been by my side throughout everything. I looked into Adam and I was like, this is like a really genuine person, like a genuine nice, or he seemed to be genuinely nice. And then I met him and I was like, oh, this guy's awesome. Like he's just as he is on, social media. He's exactly what Luke said. And, so I sang out with him a couple of times. He would be playing in Belmont, and I would go and I'd sing a couple of songs with him. And then I actually wrote a song with him and David Ryan a couple of weeks ago, and it's a really good song. It's a duet, and so I'm super excited about that one.
You'll be performing that here Saturday? Yeah. The duet?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We don't have it finished. maybe, probably not, but yeah, it's really cool. It's like about, because we didn't want it to be like, the basic love story song or like the basic love duet. And so it's about like a daughter and a dad and how they don't have a good relationship. And I'm the daughter and he's the dad. And it's really good.
That's sweet.
I really like it.
That actually brings me to an interesting question. Country's country, right? It's kind of morphed over the years, from the country I grew up with, your Waylands and your Hanks and stuff. That's kind of the stuff I was into. And then, 80s, 90s, you had your George Straits and your Alan Jacksons, and then Garth Brooks come on, and all of a sudden country's rock and roll for a minute, and then it got pop. And since the mid-90s, it seems like it's all the majority of radio country is kind of pop music, and they're all writing about the same stuff. What are you doing to stand out, and how are you approaching songwriting in a different way where you're not writing about the same?
You're not writing about bonfires and lifted trucks.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
There is a song that says, got the KC lights.
Got the KC lights pulled up in his Chevy truck. Yeah, trust me, I got one of those.
It's in there.
Yeah. I think one of the main things is, ever since I started writing songs, because I wrote the first song ever a couple years ago that I ever wrote, and it was just very true to, what I was. Because I don't try and write about, fake stuff. I mean, I try and write about stuff that I've gone through or something that other people have gone through that I know about, and so it's just very genuine genuine stuff that I write about.
So you would say that your songs have a personal touch.
Yeah. I think every song that I have has a personal touch.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's probably my issue with, like, the poppy country is that it's like, to in my mind, when I hear some of that stuff, it's like, you're singing, like, to, you're playing to, like, the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. Did you it's, really?
Yeah. It's like, and you know, I'm being a bit of a music snob when I say this, but I want the stuff that I listen to, the stuff that I put in my brain to have some depth. You know what I mean?
There was something that John, I can't remember the quote exactly, but it was Johnny Cash, and he said something about you can't sing about stuff that you hadn't lived or something to that extent. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Well, back then, I mean, you know, when Johnny Cash and those guys and Waylon, when they were all writing music, they were telling stories.
Yeah.
They were telling stories. And, you know, before then, I think maybe the Beatles was like the first like big explosion. Well, Elvis, really. Elvis was kind of like the original rock star.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you got all these old country guys writing these songs about stuff that we're all going through and having like just this. They had a personal touch with their songs. And then that kind of got away from the genre for a while. But there are some diamonds in the rough, man. You know, there are guys like Chris Stapleton. There's guys like Sturgill Simpson that are, you know, that are killing it by doing it different. And that's kind of why I asked that. Like, because really, you're gonna find yourself at some point. Like, how do you stand out?
Yeah.
You know, as a young female in the genre, and there's a lot of really good singers out there. So you gotta have something different, right?
Yeah.
It's just something to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to ask because I do like country. Who are your female artist inspirations?
My female artist inspirations. One thing I'll say is I really like Lainey Wilson.
Yeah.
We do a couple of songs, and I feel like I sound a lot. I can you know kind of sound. We do Wait in the Truck, and whenever Lainey sings, I'm like, oh yeah, I can do. I can relate to her voice and stuff, and so I really like Lainey. Watermelon Moonshine by her is one of my favorites. I like Kelly Clarkson a lot. She's amazing.
She I don't can, care what she sings.
She can sing she anything. She can sing anything. Like, anything.
Just hand her the phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She can sing absolutely anything. You know, I like Gabby Barrett. Carrie Underwood. We do Before He Cheats. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good song. That's a really good song.
Yeah. There's a story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I hope she didn't live that one, but there's a story.
Whoever wrote it probably did.
The way she sings it, it sounds like she might have.
I hope she did live that one. I hope she did.
She tore that
thing. I hope he got what was coming.
Yeah.
It just sounds like fun, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
She does the Sunday Night Football song, too. That's, yeah. My wife and I trip on that. Because back in the day, I used to watch those competition shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Kelly Clarkson winning the first season of American Idol. Yeah. It was crazy the career she had. Yeah. Like, who's her and Carrie Underwood, like, who else has really reached that level of success from those shows?
You know, Daughtry.
Did he?
I don't know, man. People.
Like, Chris Underwood and
Scotty
Kelly
McCreary
Clarkson
did
level.
That. Yeah, Scotty McCreary.
I mean, yeah, Scotty is local, but he's not at the same level.
Yeah, he's not at the same
level. Yeah, I'm saying like American
but
Idol nailed
go
it.
Back to the early American Idols to get those stars.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, we have one of the girls that comes to our open mic and sings just participated in a competition that's more on like a local level that I think the prize was to get a show at Old Red.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. You know, like there's people still doing that, and I think those type of like competitions are great for music. You know, for exposure, getting people, you know, exposure. It's so hard to be successful doing
the
art.
I had my experience with I'm not allowed to say what it was, but last summer I spent in California and I was filming on one of the major.
How was that experience for you? Talk a little bit about the experience. We don't have to say the name of it.
Yeah, so it was my first time ever, because, I mean, I've been to California, but it was my first time staying out there as long as I did, which is me and my mom, and it's very much, you know, TV, and you're out there, and you're going to Universal, and you're doing wardrobe, and you're doing all of that. It's really cool whenever you, get to experience all of that, and... Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. You know, you don't want to start pooping on opportunities. But
it was a good opportunity. It was cool. And we got pictures and everything. We can't post them, but you know, it was still a really good opportunity, and it can open doors for, people.
Very cool. Very cool. Have you guys ever considered getting on one of these competition shows?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Greg can sing really good. He did it a couple nights ago.
Look, I tell you what, I could, if they created a show called Look, he can still do it.
That's a really good idea.
That's such a dope show.
So do you take Advil every day? No. No, I don't.
Advil and coffee.
Yeah.
Advil and coffee, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a man over 40.
Yeah, they're not. They're not looking for me. I'm fine right where I am.
It's funny. There's this show on Netflix my wife and I are watching called Love is Blind.
Yeah.
You know about this show? Yep. Do you guys know about this show?
I've seen it. I haven't watched it.
Do you know about it, Greg?
Which one? Love is Blind?
Love is Blind.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Just shoot an episode like at Carowinds or something.
Well, this whole season's Charlotte.
Oh,
this
okay.
whole season. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Fuck.
Sorry.
The concept is you got men on one side and women on another living in these houses, and they go into these pods where they can't see who they're talking to. So you're forced to like have these conversations with member of the opposite sex, and you can't see what they look like. And the idea is to like some of these people are going to find love, and they kind of follow them, like people that decide to be together, and they take them on like this little wisp away vacation, and they follow them through marriage and stuff. And it's funny because I'm sitting there watching it, and like everyone on there is like young and hot. And I'm like, I want to see the trailer park version of this.
Yeah.
I want to see the 40-something-year-olds that have two kids and they're divorced. Like, that's the
love is what I want to see.
That
person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's lived a little bit.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
It would definitely be interesting.
Yeah. It'd be way more fun
all
to watch.
Baggage on both sides.
Yes.
I mean, that might be just as good as Tiger King, so. Yeah.
Look, there's a reason they don't put us normies on TV.
It's the right type of train wreck.
Because love is Gastonia.
Well, let me tell you, whenever I was out there in California last year, my mom was out there. I wasn't worried because they had to do interviews with me. Like, my family had to do interviews. And so they flew my dad out there, and I was fine with my mom. I knew she was going to watch what she says. Like, I was fine. My dad... me and my mom were both nervous about what was going to come out of his mouth because he doesn't watch what he says. He just says what it comes to his mind. And so we were like, okay, don't say anything that you would say at home. Just don't say that, okay? And so luckily he didn't talk that much, so it was good.
But, I feel that. My teenage daughter, I get a lot of that energy from her too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even on this episode, I'm trying to like clean my language up, you know, be conscious of it. Just because, you know, I'm sure your fan base isn't going to appreciate me dropping F-bombs left and right. So, speaking of fan base, your social media following is growing. You do post a lot. Is there a structure in place, like a plan for this whole generation, like this a whole new aspect of the business that no one my age dealt with. So there's a little more pressure. There's a lot more to do. What's your approach there, and what's your philosophy on like how you use social media? Because like we were talking about earlier, it can also lead to some really, you know, scary situations. Right. So how are you approaching that?
Yeah, I mean, on social media, it's a really great way to, you know, grow your following. Because I mean, a lot of people that I play out, they come and see me, and so it's really cool. You know, that people actually pay attention and, you know, they want to come out and see my music and stuff. And so, yeah, I try and post a lot. I try and keep everything updated at where I'm playing and everything. And I get a lot of messages, like, on Messenger. And I try and respond to everybody that I can. But, again, there's been, like, there's few that are just weird. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've gotten some calls from, like, Pakistan. And so we don't answer those. But, yeah, I mean... We try and post, you know, every day, and I try and, you know, let people know where I'm playing and everything.
There will come a time where you can't answer messages.
Yeah.
And in fact, mm-hmm. I know Instagram has an option where you can limit who can message you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice tool for someone who's got, you know, 50,000 followers. You know, it's, you know, I mean, even just from this place, I get a ton of messages, and, you know, sometimes I'll look at them and be like, well,
what
is this in this person's head that they said these things? It's weird. But I just ignore those as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting, man. You've got a real fun ride ahead of you if you play your cards right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I want to see you succeed. You know, you're a hometown girl. You know, you've got the bug. You've got, you know, you've got all the pieces are in place. Now you got to put the puzzle together, right?
Yeah.
Well, and having said that, we also want to see you succeed, man. You've got passion for Gastonia and bringing live music. And as you talk about all the time on social media, you know, it's like, guys, you know, here's what everybody wants. Where are you at? Come out and support live local music. And
I appreciate that.
And all the bands and everybody really appreciate, you know, what you've done. I know, I mean, look at this place. It's amazing. I mean, it's beautiful.
And I've played here three times with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, before you.
We did the Christmas Jam.
Christmas Jam. I opened for Tangerine Trees.
Jefferson Avenue opened up.
Yeah, I was in Jefferson Avenue.
That's right.
And then Revon. Boy, that was a mind-blowing
experience.
That was
a fun show. That was a really fun show. Man, yeah, that was so early on.
It was some fun times.
So much potential here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't frustrating, you know, because and that's why I'm going to continue to do, like, the tribute shows and stuff like that, because that's kind of what keeps the bills paid. But, you know, like last night, which, you know, this isn't your scene, but we had metal bands here last night, and all, you know, the three of those four bands were really impressive.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. But the room wasn't full. And it's like, and from my mind, I'm like, so many people are missing out on this experience that we're having. And, you know, it's, look, you know, everybody says it, you know, your favorite singer, your favorite artist, your favorite band, they were a local band when they got started. And, you know, you get out there and support them. The part that, you know, I was, even before I opened this place, I was guilty of my wife and I dropping $300-$500 on a night out to go see a concert. You know, the ticket prices are through the roof now, and I'm at the point now where it's like I don't really even want to go to these big shows anymore, because all I'm doing is feeding that machine that's putting me out of business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, thankfully, like we were talking about before kids, before kids, and you drop everything and put everything to rest. It was okay. Who's playing here? What do they sound like? Nobody does that anymore. Nobody goes, oh, I've never heard of them. Go listen to them. Do we want to go to this show? Why not? Let's go.
That's why I created the playlist. Yeah. I spent an entire Saturday afternoon in my office a couple weeks ago. Everybody's like, Michael! I'm in there, and I went back through our calendar. And every single band that's played here, if they've got music on Spotify, I put it in in a playlist for that genre.
Playlist.
So now we've got all the different genres. Everyone that's played here, if your music's on Spotify, we have a playlist for it.
Bailey's got a few on Spotify.
And after Saturday, she'll be on there. I try to wait till everyone's played here to add them to the list. It's like a living, breathing thing. Problem is, I don't know how to get that out to people. I shared it on social, but it's like, how to keep that. And it's like, this is how you get to know what's going on in your own backyard. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but if I can go out for $100, you know, ticket, bar tab, and I've spent less than $100 and I had a great time, that's way better than $500.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's way better. So, you know, I would encourage you to come out to shows and support these local artists.
Yeah, for $100 or less, you can come see the show, get drinks, and buy merch.
And I'll even say this, even if the show's not spectacular, we've had some...
You can still have a good time.
Yeah, you can still have a good time. We've had some comedy shows that were cringeworthy, but you end up having just as much fun because you're like, this is a shit show.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Everyone walks away with a little something.
Or if you know somebody, you're like, you're looking, I'm going, what's going on? What's happening?
Really good rum and coke.
Well, they got great drink prices.
Yeah.
And we do. We have great drink prices.
Yeah.
And with this being a Saturday show, let's see, our Saturday special is $3 fireball shots and $1 off drafts.
Yep.
So that alone is a reason to come drink some Cavendish beer. But really, while we're here, while we're talking today, is because Bailey Marie Griggs is headlining this Saturday, March 16th. Adam Church is here. Elijah Ray, Trace Casanova. This is going to be a fun time. Doors will be open at 6 o'clock. Get the tickets on our website in advance. Save a few bucks. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I mean, I encourage everybody to come out. It's always a lot more fun whenever there's a crowd that's really involved with the show, mm-hmm. and it's just everybody's feeding off of the energy of each other, and so I encourage everybody to come out,
Fellas, anything you want to plug?
You can get right up to the stage here.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
You see the crowd slowly as the night goes on. They start moving up closer and closer and closer to the stage, which is a great feeling.
I do get a lot of feedback on the intimacy that we provide. You know, you just, you know.
Great sound.
Yeah. The energy in this room is like, I've been to so many like mom and pop spots and bars and stuff for live music. And honestly, when we have a full room here, it's unmatched. The adrenaline that gets pumping, the sense of community, all that stuff. The reason why I opened this place, the reason why we all love doing this, like it's here.
There's nothing like being up there, and then like if you're introducing somebody, it's just the energy exchange. And it's the same for you. It's the energy exchange. You see how they're enjoying it. You're like, yes, let's go even harder.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so much more fun.
We play like, here when they're down both hallways.
Oh yeah.
And the people don't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to talk them out of the hallways. I'm like, oh, come up to front of stage.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's honestly that feeling, you know, that's, you know, not to get too philosophical here, but that's my church. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, you know, that's how I feel alive when that energy's in the room like that. You know, and you can feel it. It's like electricity running through
you. And this place has a good energy base to start with.
Yeah. Yeah, we put out good, you know, so fortunately, knock on wood, we haven't really had issues with, like, people coming in and trying to start fights, and, like, we don't let people get too drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, we keep things safe, and that's, and we're an all-ages venue. You know, we'll have metal shows where there's, like, 5-8-year-olds moshing, you know what I'm saying?
Pit. I will tell them, there's a kid pit.
Yeah.
I will come down off the stage if I see you hit a kid, so stay over there, stay away from
them. Yeah.
Nice. And my philosophy on that is, you know, I want to help inspire the next generation of artists, you know. So thank you for doing this. I will give Scott one more plug. He's not going to do it. Scott, if you need any web design done, call Moon Ray. I'll help you out. He does our website, and he does a fantastic job. Thanks again for doing this, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Come see him this Saturday. We're going to have a great time. Peace and love.